Luke chapter 1, verse 26. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and the angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." The angel spoke to Mary in regards to Jesus, saying, "You will give birth to the promised Messiah, a king born to rule, a savior born to redeem, a baby born to bear the sins of all of mankind on the cross." Church, this is our history. This is our Christmas past. A lot of us have things in our past, don't we? Getting a little uncomfortable, aren't you? What did he read on Facebook this week? But we do. We have, the term is colorful past sometimes, but we have all sorts of things in our past, both good and bad, and all sorts of different events. But this church, this is our Christmas past. But as we have a lot of things in our past, it reminds me of a character that we've kind of based this whole series off of. Ebenezer Scrooge, there he is, in a series that we're calling My Christmas Carol. Inspired by the classic by Charles Dickens, A Christmas Carol. And we're going to use the movie to help us to reflect on our own Christmas past, Christmas present, and Christmas future. Christmas past.
Are you the spirit whose coming was foretold to me?
I am.
Who and what are you?
I am the ghost of Christmas past. Turn and see yourself in love, Ebenezer Scrooge.
It's only a shilling ring, Alice, but one day it'll be a gold one.
When I'm rich enough.
Oh, it's a beautiful ring. Oh, but I mustn't accept it.
Why not? Because it's not good enough for you.
Oh, no, no.
Because I'm not rich enough for you.
Oh, foolish of me. Of course not. You're still so young, you may have a change of heart.
I've seen enough.
Yet more awaits
you. I won't look.
You shall.
There you are, me buck. That's where you start. And you can work your way on up as high as the dome of St. Paul's Cathedral if you've a mind to do so. Control the cash box and you control the world. And now let me introduce you to your fellow clerk, Mr. Marley. Just a moment, please. Mr. Ebenezer Scrooge, the new clerk, Mr. Jacob Marley, our wizard of the accounts.
Your servant, Mr. Marley.
Your servant, Mr. Scrooge.
I'm sure you two gentlemen will get along famously.
I'm sure we shall, Mr. Jorkins.
Yeah.
Alice. The same Alice you swore to love to all eternity, Ebenezer. She is not changed by the harshness of the world. But you are.
Then you no longer love me.
You no longer love me.
When have I ever said that?
In words, never.
Well, in what then?
In the way you have changed.
But how have I changed towards you?
By changing towards the world.
But is it such a terrible thing for a man to struggle for something better than he is?
Another idol has replaced me in your heart. A golden idol.
If you were free today, would you choose a dowerless girl with neither wealth nor social standing? You who now weigh everything by gain? It would bring you nothing but repentance and regret. That is why I release you. You know I'm right, then.
I must bow to your conviction that you are.
May you be happy in the life you have chosen.
Thank you. I shall be.
Goodbye.
Show me no more. But I told you. These were but shadows of the things that have been. That they are what they are, do not blame me.
Take me away.
Very well. But we have not done yet, Ebenezer Scrooge. We do but turn another page.
Is he dead yet?
I'll have another look if you like.
No, don't bother.
I'll see for myself.
Have they seen to you properly?
Last rites and all that. There's nothing I can do. Oh? What particularly?
Well, there's still time.
Time? Time for what?
We've been wrong.
Oh. Well, we can't be right all the time. Nobody's perfect. We've been no worse than the next man. Oh, better if it comes to that. You mustn't reproach yourself, Jacob.
We are wrong.
What?
Save yourself.
What? Save myself? Save myself from what?
Speak up.
Jacob Marley worked at your side for 18 years. He was the only friend you ever had. But what did you feel when you signed the register of his burial and took his money, his house, and his few mean sticks of furniture? Did you feel a little pity for him? Look at your face, Ebenezer. A face of a wrenching, grasping, scraping, covetous old sinner.
It's a classic, isn't it? Imagine if you were visited by the ghost of Christmas past. What would he show you? What scenes in your life would he take you back to? What events in your past have affected the person that you are today? Maybe growing up, you had a cat. And the cat slept at the foot of your bed every night. And when you got off the school bus, coming home from school, the cat would run out to meet you. And when you'd sit down to watch TV, the cat would crawl up in your lap. And so you grew up like that. And so you formed a view of cats, that cats are affectionate, they're loving, they're caring. Or maybe your sister had a cat. And that cat slept at the foot of her bed. And when you came home from school, the cat would run to her at the bus stop. And when you would sit down for TV, the cat would sit on her lap. And so because you grew up like this, you formed a view of cats that cats are sexist bigots. Which actually is a little closer to the truth than the first one. Or perhaps your neighbor had a cat. And you were minding your own business, of course, as a child. In your own yard. And then out of the tree pounces like a ninja this neighbor's cat onto your face and takes you to the ground and threatens to gouge your eyes out and twist your arm behind your back and tells you to say uncle in kitty language. Then maybe you grew up with a view that you should be afraid of cats because they're psycho. That is absolute truth. And the things that happen in our past, they make us who we are today. Actually, a more correct statement would be that our response to events that happen in our past make us who we are today. My response to events in the past forms who I am today. Just like Mr. Scrooge in Dickens' Christmas Carol. How we see the world around us today is influenced by how we chose to see the world around us yesterday. How we interact with the world around us today is influenced by how we chose to interact with the world yesterday. We choose how we will respond to life's events. And each choice adds to who we are today. And those events, those choices, they can really stack up on us. We get a lot of baggage or a lot of luggage through our life. For our purposes today, let's kind of make a difference between baggage and luggage. Not good and bad events in your life, but rather how you responded to events. A healthy response or a poor response. Let's say that luggage represents healthy responses. To both events, let's go and get the actual definition. There, it's up there. Events in my past that I had a healthy response to. Maybe you had a good event. Maybe your wedding day. That was a good event. And you had a healthy response to it because to this day you've got a healthy marriage, a good marriage. Because on that day when you committed to that marriage, you followed through with that and you worked at it and you worked at it together. And so you have a good event with a healthy response. Luggage. Something you want to carry around with you. Something you want to take with you where you go. Because it strengthens you and encourages you. Lessons learned. Maybe it was a bad event. Maybe some of your luggage consists of the day when your spouse told you that they were leaving you. And there was nothing you could do about it to change their mind. That's a negative event. That's an awful event. But how you respond to it could turn that event into luggage because you could have a healthy response to a bad event. In that situation, maybe you chose not to hate your ex. You chose to offer forgiveness. You chose to feel the hurt and then let it go. If children were involved, you chose not to do things that would affect them in this nasty divorce. And so you have a bad event, but a healthy response. Luggage. Now baggage. Let's use the same type of definition for baggage. But baggage is an event in my past that I had a poor response to. Now this could be a good or bad event also. Good event, say you had a coach or a teacher that was a mentor to you and they passed on wisdom to you. Wisdom that you should have taken, but you didn't, and you regret it to this day that you didn't take their advice, that you didn't listen to them. So you had a good event being advice from a mentor, but you had a poor response because you didn't listen to it. Baggage. Maybe you had a negative event. Maybe someone did something to you, maybe a bully in junior high. Or an abusive parent. Or maybe someone did the ultimate and defriended you on Facebook. And you're holding a grudge about that and you won't let it go. And you won't offer forgiveness. And all these are choices that you've made. You've chosen to respond poorly to a negative event, and therefore it becomes baggage. And the way we live in our life, we take our baggage and our luggage, and we say, you know what? I can be successful in life if I could just get it to where my baggage and my luggage equaled out. But we look at that and we say, you know what? If I could get my baggage and my luggage to kind of balance out, they're both kind of leaning, aren't they? Don't want to lose them. Then everything would be just great. I'd like to challenge your thinking this morning. And since it's Christmas time, we'll just place a little present up here for right now. Luke chapter 2, verse 4 says, "So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him. She was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in clothes and placed him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn." That's the beginning of the gospel story of Jesus. That's the beginning. And that's what we're thinking about this season. Is that gospel story, that God as a baby coming to earth. And what I'm afraid of is I'm afraid that we've lost touch with the weight of this simple little story. And how important this is to our past. I was thinking about this and talking about it with the preaching team. And we kind of asked the question. And I turned to one of my friends, Chris Sovereign, who is a history guru. Or at least compared to me, anybody's a history guru. But I needed to turn to someone that knew history. And I posed a question to him. What would happen if we removed the birth story of Jesus from history? What would happen if Jesus would have never come? How would that have affected our world? And I literally heard his eyes roll in his head. And he tried to respond in a way that didn't, you know, sound, you know, like he was looking down on me. But his words, his opening statement was, "Well, everything." And then he went on to give the information that I was hoping that he would give. And he started spouting off history facts. And that he proceeded to talk about Constantine and about how he converted the whole empire of Rome to Christianity, which changed the whole outlook and focus of the Roman Empire. This was the birth of the Roman Catholic Church, which not only affected 3rd century Rome, but to this day, the Catholic Church and other churches that were birthed out of that movement are still being affected and still affecting the world with this little story. He went on to talk about the Norsemen, the Vikings, and the brutality that existed in that people, and how others took this little story to that brutal people, to that barbaric mindset, and won them over to Christ. And if it weren't for that, what would have happened to our world? Would it have continued in that barbaric state? Some of the worst, most just ruthless, barbaric, bad-ist. I have to be very careful saying that. Bad-ist. It's not a word. Spell check changed it to baldest. And I guess that would work too. Some of them were bald, I guess. But this little story had such weight and such power that it even reached to those barbaric men to teach them the truth of loving your neighbor and caring for each other. Then we talked about the birth of America and how the number one reason that America was born was because of this story, because of Jesus Christ. Whether you're looking at those who left England looking for religious freedom, or you look at the conquistadors who always had missionaries with them as they went into the New World with the intent to proselytize the New World with this message. If it weren't for Christ, America would have been severely different from the beginning. It would have been founded solely on the drive for wealth and greed. Even after America was established, you had this story convicting hearts that slavery was wrong. This little story in Jesus' life taught us that women were valuable too. And so years later, from this little story of Jesus, who he treated men and women equally, and even in the beginning of the ministry, we see women doing the same work that Peter and Paul were doing in the church, reaching people for Christ. And years later in America, convicted of those principles and those values, we had women's rights. You take this out of history, and it completely changes history. I don't think we understand the weight of this little story. I mean, even against all of our baggage and luggage, everything in our past that we've got, the weight of that little story. A story that has moved, changed, altered huge events in history. The story of Jesus' birth is an event in our past of significant weight. Significant weight, church. I have a few questions regarding that truth. The first question is, have I forgotten just how much weight this story bears? As we come to this season, you're dragging your luggage around and you're proud of it, and you're dragging your baggage around and you're ashamed of it. But do you realize the weight of this one event in the past? And have you pushed that aside and tried to balance your own luggage? Because when you use this event to balance things, it takes over. It outweighs anything that you've got. Second question is, how have I responded to this event in my past? We talked about good events and bad events and healthy responses and poor responses. This is a good event. Have you had a healthy response or a poor response to it? Or have you had any response at all? If you're still in Luke, you can turn over to chapter 3. And in Luke, he shares the genealogy of Jesus. And he traces the genealogy backwards through all sorts of names that are hard to pronounce. And so we're not even going to try. The key is, at the end of that genealogy, he traces him all the way back to Adam, who was the Son of God. He traces Jesus' genealogy all the way back to Son of God. Jesus Christ, born in a little town of Bethlehem, grew up in Nazareth, traveled throughout Judea, Galilee, and the surrounding areas. And then just outside of Jerusalem, he died for our sins on a cross. He was buried, rose from the dead. And he did this so that if we chose to respond to his grace, his love, his acceptance, that he would outweigh any baggage or luggage we have in our life. What is your response this morning? Jesus came so that you could have access, so that you could join in that genealogy and be able to trace your genealogy back to being a son of God or a daughter of God. That's why Jesus came. So that you could call God your Father. But it takes you responding to that gift, that present that was given so many years ago. This morning, right now, if you want to respond to that gift and you've never responded to it before, I invite you to come forward, confess your faith in Jesus Christ, be baptized in Him, and accept the gift that He gave you. The gift of eternal life, the gift of forgiveness of sins, the gift of the Holy Spirit. If you want to respond this morning, right now, I ask you to come forward as we...